B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
My guest today is guitar virtuoso John Five, of course, from Rob Zombie's band, out doing a solo tour right now. This guy can play anything with strings, and we'll prove it today during our conversation. Now, you're playing it?
Yeah.
We also talk about this current tour he's on with Queensryche, and we talk about his old boss, David Lee Roth, and this tour he's on with Kiss.
I'm going to be honest. I think he's doing wonderful. His band is great. He sounds great.
We do talk a little bit about the new Rob Zombie record that's been done for quite a while. John says it's Rob at his finest.
But it's that growl, and he still has, his voice has not changed in all that time. You know, he's got, and there's so much of that on this record.
And that's just for starters today with John Five on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Ah, yes, another big podcast on deck right here, the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Thanks so much for tuning by. We got John Five coming up here. We'll do up some rock news with Al Beck, and then we'll kind of top things off with Chase Engel and the Night Shift. This is kind of an interesting band. Just kind of starting out, trying to make some waves. We've talked to these guys before, and they're going to be playing in the southeast Michigan area in Detroit on February 22nd, opening up for the band Sponge. And so we'll talk to those guys after our rock news. And by the way, look who's decided to grace us with his presence. It's Al Beck.
I'm here.
Yeah, there you go. Where have you been?
I've been around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, vacations, different things. I know. Well, last time we had Dirty Honey on, and they were in the studio, and we actually videotaped that one. So that was on the podcast last time. And I don't know if you were around or what you were doing, but
I don't know. You know what? I was seriously wondering.
Yeah. Well,
do we do this podcast anymore? It would be like, it would get canceled, and I wouldn't know.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Yeah. That's. Hey, listen, people. Good workers are hard to find. Okay. So I got to deal with.
That's why I settled with me.
I have to deal with what I got. Yeah. So we got a lot of rock news to get to later on today. There's this band that put out this really kick-ass app where you can hear their new song.
Dude, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And not only is it an app, you have to do something special with it in order to hear the song. It's a really neat idea.
Yeah, it's a really... And just the fact that we live in times where you can do this, I mean, it's just kind of mind-boggling. Tommy Lee was on a sitcom the other day, one of my favorites. And we'll talk about that as well. He kept his pants on, right? He did, I believe so.
Right, I mean, he's sitting at a desk, so we don't know for sure.
Yeah, not exactly. Well,
I didn't notice if the desk was a few feet extra off the ground or not.
Green Day, they were looking to make American Idiot into a movie. We'll give you the update on that. Ozzy talks about his Parkinson's, and I guess he was diagnosed with this a little bit longer than previously reported.
Indicated,
so. So anyways, and also we'll do some news on Dave Grohl. Well, we have to.
It's rock news, and he's always doing something.
Yeah, it's part of the rules here in the program.
So, it's an update on the album, but also some other project that's kind of cool that he's working on.
Okay, yeah, looking forward to hearing about that. And finally, we'll talk about Kiss as well, as they're going to be on a... Do you call them variety shows nowadays? I'm not sure. What do the kids call them?
I don't know. They're YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
their YouTube clip.
All right, so...
the kids call it.
Yeah, well, they're going to be on a show coming up here, which we'll talk about. Speaking of Kiss, I shot a video with John Five on our FaceTime Live or our Facebook Live, you know? Well, the reason I said FaceTime was, get this. So this interview I'm about to play, we did yesterday before the John Five show. So it was like, this is like really cool. Okay, not to drop some names, but I will. So I'm there and I'm talking to baseball, I believe Hall of Famer, Kirk Gibson and his wife, and John Five is there, and my phone starts vibrating, and I'm like, this is at the show last night. It was about, it's around 10:30 or something like that. And my phone starts vibrating. Well, my family, my kids and my wife are out of town on vacation this week, and I look, and they want to FaceTime me. And I'm talking to Kirk Gibson and John Five.
Nice.
And so I look, and you can see them, right? I'm like, hey, guys. I go, hey, look, there's Kirk Gibson. Hey, there's John. And they were so nice. They're like, hey, how you guys doing? What's going on? Is that your wife?
Nice.
It was really cool.
That's cool.
So when John came into the station yesterday, I Facebook Lived.
Yes.
And I took him down the hallway and showed him that picture of Gene Simmons. And
he had never seen
it before.
Okay.
And of course, Five is a huge, huge Kiss fan. So Anyway, so you get a chance to check that out on my at WRIF's Facebook page, which is really cool. So in the meantime, we'll get started here with John Five. He was nice enough to come in, and here's what it sounded like when we recorded this interview yesterday on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. John Five, grace in the studio. This is where I usually talk to you when you're on the phone, though.
Yes, that's correct. I don't know about gracing the studio. Maybe stinking up the studio.
No, man. It's always good to see you in person. Thanks so much for doing this, by the way.
Absolutely, and it's great to see you.
You brought your film crew and the whole thing here. You got this. Can you talk about this? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. We're shooting a little documentary, and I'm putting out this live album called Live Invasion, and it's really cool documenting how everything's going and how we're moving along and interviewing people. And there's going to be a bunch of people, you know, associated with it. So it's a lot of fun. We went to the high school today and where I grew up and all that stuff. So it's really fun.
So wait a second. You went to the high school. Did you talk to like your old teachers and stuff?
No.
Oh.
I did before. And this is a funny story. There's this teacher named Mr. Blondin. And I was a good person.
Right.
You know, I was a nice kid.
You're still a good person.
You know, I wasn't bad or anything. I didn't do great in school, but because I was thinking, just always thinking about guitar and Kiss and all that stuff.
Right.
But Mr. Blondin, for some reason, really had it out for me. Really had it out. And I remember he grabbed me by my collar and he goes, "You're going to be pumping my gas one day."
Oh, really?
And I remember that. And I was just a kid. And I would think, oh my God, I would never do that to any kid, you know, like that. I mean, what a terrible thing to do. And it always stuck with me. So when I was in Marilyn Manson, I went to go visit the high school, and I was crazy, a mess, and went back there, and you know, we were playing at DTE or something like that, and I said, you know, "Not pumping your gas, buddy." And I pulled the fire alarm.
Really?
Of the high school, yeah. So, yeah.
So you saw him and confronted him.
Yeah.
Because you don't strike me as the kind of person that would do that.
I know, but it was pretty crazy. You know, like he would say something like that. Like, who would say something like that?
Yeah, that's, wow. I can't believe that a teacher would say that to a kid. You're right. That's unbelievable. Well, you're not pumping gas now. Of course, you're on tour with Queens.
I am pumping gas. So. Like, I'll have to go to the gas station. I pump gas.
But not for him.
Not for him, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're on tour with Queensryche, and I talked to Michael Wilton a couple weeks ago. He said that you're just so much fun to have on tour, and this tour seems to be going great, huh?
Yeah, it's been one of the best tours we've ever done. It's so easy. Everybody is just very, very sweet, very kind, and the shows have been wonderful. And it's because it's so different. Mm-hmm. You know,
what is it like when you're not headlining? Because normally when I see you doing your solo stuff, you're headlining or with Rob or whatever.
Well, hopefully you will see. And it's really wonderful because I'll come out and people will be, you know, I'm like, you know, it's crazy. The show's crazy. And by halfway through the show, the people are just going crazy, like through like the bluegrass part and all that stuff. People just go crazy. And it's really fun, you know, and to see how that happens every night. You know, people just really go crazy. And
there's got to be a little bit of stress lifted off you as well, because you're not the headliner.
There isn't, though.
No, really?
No, I have no stress about it, you know? I stress more about pumping the gas.
Well, we're not going to be doing that, like I said, anytime soon, unless it's your own vehicle, but not Mr. What's his name?
Blondin.
Okay, he's not there anymore.
I don't think so.
So, anyways, you know, I was wondering about this earlier, and I know you've done solo stuff for many, many years, but talk about doing the solo stuff and not, you know, working with Rob or Marilyn or whoever. I mean, is this just your chance to just, you know, I'm just going to go for it and do whatever I want to do.
It is a very hard sell. I want to, you know, I'm honest with myself and all that stuff. It's like, you know, selling ice cream outside in the snow, you know, it's a hard sell. What do you mean? There's no vocals. He's going to get out there and play guitar. And so I just had this, you know, idea, and I just wanted to give it a try, but I would do all these different styles of music and kind of make it an instrumental Alice Cooper type show, you know, with like this crazy, you know, stage show and different styles of music. And it really seems to have been working.
Mm.
And people really accept it and have been super, super into it, like crazy, crazy rabid fans. And it's from the heart, and that's what is most important. Because people know I'm not doing this for anything except for the love of guitar and the love of music. And people can see that and feel that almost because I'm so passionate about it. And I think, you know, people aren't dumb. They know when something is real, and this is definitely real. And, you know, it's just a wonderful feeling.
Well, I've told you before, I love your solo show because, you know, people are saying, well, how can you watch a guy play guitar for an hour and a half? But every song is so much different. It's kind of like it's all over the place.
Right. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. And you never know what you're going to get. It's kind of like what Forrest Gump says. You know, life is like a box chocolate. Never know what you're going to get.
That's right. So I wanted to ask you, too, when did the makeup thing start? Because you posted a picture today on your Instagram of you playing guitar when you were like, I don't know, 14 or 15. So when did you decide, you know what, I would do this makeup thing? Obviously, you're a big Kiss fan, but how did that all come about?
Well, you know, I think it was very early on because I would go play the Hamtramck pub.
Right. Is that the one you fell through the floor?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Hamtramck pub and the Falcon and all these places. And I was young. I was like sixth grade. And I would wear makeup back then.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I was, you know, I loved Kiss and all that stuff. But I was really into the theatrics of everything. And still to this day, you know, I'm going to be 30 years old soon.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still doing it.
No, that's great, man. I thought that was kind of an obvious question to ask. Because sometimes, you know, it's like, how did that start? I don't know.
It is a great question. I did have the Kiss makeup set, you know, when I was, you know, like 8 years old. But I think I started putting it on back then and stealing my sister's makeup and all that stuff and clothes. And
she's here. And is she the one that dressed you up as the cheap whore? I can't remember. Was that? Or
no,
your mom?
That was my mom.
Well, your mom, of course.
You know, let's not. You know, my sister's got a little bit more class than that.
Hey, so, of course, you worked with David Lee Roth and now he's touring with Kiss. Have you had a chance to see any of it? I mean, online or in person or anything?
I saw it online. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I think he's doing wonderful. His band is great. He sounds great. Playing with Kiss. And what a great bill. I mean, I'm going to go see it March 4th in L.A. And, you know, I've been so busy, I haven't seen the Kiss show yet. Can you believe it?
Really?
I know. It's crazy.
Well, it's been going on for like 15 years.
Yeah, it's been going on for like, you know, since 1983. So
you weren't at the one here in 96, were you? Tiger Stadium?
No, I was not.
Because that was maybe one of the most amazing things I'd seen.
Huge. Yeah. Massive. I mean, I saw it on like the documentary and things like that. But yeah, I saw it at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Which is awesome.
They played that small club and I was there. I was there with Zombie and we were there. And, you know, I think there was more celebrities there than people. And you know, but it was wonderful. But I haven't seen the full show yet. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, so it's going to be here in September if you're not doing anything. But you are doing some stuff during the summertime. So we just announced earlier today, of course, Riff Fest with Rob Zombie. And I don't know how much you can talk about other dates with Zombie, but that's coming up in the middle of July. It's going to be a great show. Once again, you're like a Riff Fest veteran now.
You know, there is nothing, I'll say it again and again and again, there is nothing better than playing a show in the summertime outside, and Riff Fest has been so much fun because we have the family, we have friends, we have great weather, and it's always been a blast. It's just one of my favorite things, you know, playing outside in the month of July, August, or anything like that. It's just one of my favorite things to do in the world.
And especially since we're indoors for, you know, 5 or 6 months a year.
Right.
We can't wait to get outside.
Right, yeah.
So,
and I love playing shows outside. And, you know, I just have such fond memories of playing, you know, that venue. And it's just wonderful. I really do. And seeing such great shows there, too. Oh, my God, I've seen everybody there.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but will we have heard the new record by the time you come through in the summertime?
You know, there's a few things I pray for in life, you know, just being healthy, right. World peace, and the new Zombie record. So I really hope so.
Now, you've seen, you saw the Three from Hell, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Absolutely.
That was awesome.
Great, great movie. We went to the premiere And, you know, I went with my buddy Nikki, and I remember we were watching the movie, and he's like, man, this is violent. I was like, yeah, dude, it's pretty crazy. And yeah, it's a great movie. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, of course, talking about Nikki Sixx, and, you know, I know you're part of the Dirt and everything like that, but, yeah, this record, man, the Rob Zombie record, seems like it's been done since, like, 2003.
Yeah, I think it's been done for a little bit, and he just wants to put it out at the right time, and I'm so excited because the record is really heavy. I mean, I have the record, and we play it backstage, like when we're getting ready or something like that. We'll listen to it, and it's heavy, and it's got tons of hooks, and I've told Rob this before, but I love White Zombie. You love White Zombie, mm-hmm. And Rob has a certain growl to his voice, and his voice has been the same, you know, since I don't know when, since he started, but it's that growl, and he still has, his voice has not changed in all that time. You know, he's got, and there's so much of that on this record. It's like, you know, if somebody said, hey, here's some old White Zombie, you know, that was supposed to be an Astro Creep. It's sounds the same because it's Zombie, you know, mm-hmm. It's just who he is, and I can't wait for the record. I'm so excited.
Now, how long have you been in Zombie? 15 years?
I think 15 years, since 2005.
Okay, so yeah, 15 years. I mean, could you have seen yourself still with Rob after 15 years?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when we first hung out, this is a funny story. We did this benefit for the Tsunami. It was like No Doubt and all these bands and all this stuff, and this is when I was first getting to know Rob, and we were like just chit-chatting like brothers. And I remember his manager coming up to me and he goes, why don't you give Rob a little space? And I was like, okay, you know, and I thought maybe Rob gave him a signal.
Right.
So it was just me and Rob sitting together. But then I went and moved to the other side of the room. So Rob was like, finally moved to the other side of the room. What a weird guy. You know, we're like hitting it off so much. And then we were just sitting on the opposite side of the room, like looking at each other. And I told him years later, oh, yeah, your manager told me to, like, you know, give you some space. And it's like, that was so weird because we were just sitting in a room not talking to each other. But, yeah, he's like my brother. He's wonderful. And we have such a great time on tour. And he loves playing Detroit because it's always a party.
You guys recorded a DVD here, right?
We recorded a DVD here and a live album, and you know, because it's great. It's wonderful here. We always have a zombie party, and that's for sure, in Detroit. It's crazy.
Well, I hope when you come through in the summertime, you have some new stuff, because that would be really the icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned. But with you, you got your upcoming tour. You're going to hit up Australia for the first time with your solo band, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we went to China, we've gone to South America, and we're going to Australia. And, I mean, these shows are so big. I just cannot, you know, say how happy I am and to thank the people so much, because I just do this for the love of guitar and going all over the world playing this. It's incredible. It's what a dream, you know, it's just such a dream. So we're super excited about that and doing some planning some other things upcoming.
Now, I know that during your medley, which is awesome, you throw in a little bit of Rush and stuff. What were your thoughts when you found out that Neil Peart had passed away?
Oh, my God. What a shock. I mean, I was shocked. Everybody was shocked.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. I mean, I didn't know Neil. He was such a private person. And I know everybody. And but I never met Neil. And but it was such a, oh my God, it was such a shock. So I do a little tribute. We do some Rush, and I'm thinking I'm going to throw in some, maybe some Eminem tonight.
Oh, really?
Some Detroit Rock City for the kids tonight.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's going to be fun. We're really looking forward to it. And I love St. Andrews. You know, I was, you know, I saw tons of bands there in the beginning, you know, Jane's Addiction when they first started out. I remember, you know, because I was really into Jane's Addiction, this new band, and they were playing St. Andrew's Hall, and there was just, you know, a few people there, and I was so excited. And my sister was saying that she went to go see Alice in Chains there.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Yeah, all those grunge bands played back there, Nirvana and all those bands.
Yeah, it's so rad.
And for people that are listening outside of the area, the downstairs, the Shelter, is where Eminem did those
shelter.
Rap battles. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about the Shelter. Is it still around?
Yep, it's still down there, yeah.
Wow. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it holds like maybe, I don't know, 300 or something like that.
Yeah, I got to go down there. I remember we would hang out in the Shelter. God, I was so young.
Yeah.
I was so young and I would hang out there.
We were all so young.
Yeah, Judas Priest.
So I'll tell you what, speaking of young, I'm going to do a little thing. This Is Your Life, okay? Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, Dirty Tricks. Was that your like first Michigan band?
That was my very first band, and we won the Battle of the Bands, and God, we were, you know, I was like in sixth grade, and all we did was play Van Halen covers. And,
yeah.
You know, we were really good at it, but that gave me my taste of like, hey, you know, I like this, and it's something that I might want to pursue. And we had so much fun doing that. Dirty Tricks. Oh, my God. It was a blast. It was so much fun.
By the way, T-R-I-X-X, right?
You have of course. To, yeah, you I mean, there's that. No other way to spell it.
Yeah. Is there a song or a stringed instrument that you can't play?
I try to play as many string instruments as possible and do it during the show. But someone just gave me this weird... I think it's this weird instrument from Japan, and it's I don't even know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to try to dig it out while you while you ask me another question. But it's this really cool instrument that someone gave to me on the you know, at the show. So ask me another question.
Wait a second, have it with you?
No, I have this video of me shooting of this really cool instrument that I'm trying to master.
Okay. So This Is Your Life. Another question here
okay,
for you.
Here it is. Okay, here it is.
Now you're playing it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's this, here, check it out.
It's like somebody made.
Yeah, it's this weird thing from Japan, and I'm like,
cool.
I'm gonna master this thing. So I'm gonna give up guitar, mandolin, banjo, and
master whatever that
master
is.
Master that is yeah. that toy.
All right, another question here for you. So, is it true you were on Jay Leno with Salt and Pepper?
It is true.
Or
so,
Peppa.
Yeah, Salt and Peppa. They gave me a call and they were like, "We need a guitar player. The guitar player can't make it." Blah blah blah. Because I knew the guy that was doing the, he would do the equipment rentals for the Jay Leno show. And they're like, "We need you to come play guitar. We'll send you the sheet music. They're going to do a medley." And I was like, okay. And I remember I had really super long hair and I had a Del Taco shirt on, these like Dickie shorts. And I just was headbanging and I was scratching and all this stuff. And they were like, "Man, you can play that guitar." And it's such a cool, it was so much fun. We all had such a great time together, but I cannot find that video anywhere. And everything.
Not even on YouTube or nothing.
Everything is on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
I mean, everything is on YouTube. And I remember they did this funny segment where one of the crew guys went into the catering thing and they had a camera there. And he took like all these donuts and he was putting them in his pockets and they put it on the show because it was so like out of the ordinary to do that. It was so strange. But yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. It was quick and, you know, but I would give anything to see that video.
So another question I want to ask for you. Your first paid gig was with John Wenton from Asia. Is that true?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah.
What year was this about?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably, you know, 1990 maybe.
And so Asia was still, I mean, fairly big. They came out in the early 80s. But, I mean, were you a little shocked, starstruck
yes,
a little bit?
I was very nervous. I was very nervous. But I think I did the session so quick and so fast, you know, and like... for like no money. You know, I just did it for like, I mean, they paid me obviously, but they're like, man, there's this kid that will do it for like, you know, next to nothing. Let's use him again. Okay. So they kept using me on all these things like Robin Zander and Wilson Phillips and Rick Springfield. And so I was doing all these sessions, but now I'm thinking of it. They, you know, just paid me nothing and I would do it really fast and the best of my abilities. And so I'm on all these records that they just, you know, why not? If there was like some drummer that was like, yeah, I'll do it, you know, cool, and just pay me in sandwiches or something like that. And that's, and so I did a lot of records for, you know, almost nothing. But then I, you know, kind of got to the realization, hey, I could make a little money from this.
So you start making money. What's like the biggest purchase you made early on after you started to, you know, make a few bucks?
I bought a condo in Calabasas, and I was pretty excited about that. So I felt, you know, I felt like, hey, I'm doing pretty good. And then I bought a house, and I still own that house today. And I feel pretty good about that, you know. So it's something, you know. I remember buying that house and felt pretty good about myself from just doing some picking and grinning.
Yeah, well, that's, you're good at it. So,
yeah, well, yeah. Thank you.
So, well, listen, man, I'll tell you what, we'll let you blast here. I know we got some food. I brought in the vegan food for you here.
Oh, so. My God. My stomach's grumbling, you know. It really is. It's grumbling. So,
yeah, and we got to give Pete from CMO Chili Mustard and Onions down in Detroit a little love because he's such a good guy.
You know, it would be cool if we just ate on the air and just like I'm good for like, you know, 20 minutes. Yeah. That's good radio.
I have a hard enough time getting people to listen to my show. So.
That's good radio right there.
Hey, listen, John, good luck with everything you got coming up with the live record. You got the stream. By the way, where's the live record? Has it been recorded already?
It's obviously it's recorded all over the world. It's it's South America, here, California. We're going to record some in Australia. So that's what's cool. It's going to be recorded from all over the world.
Yeah, because the last time you did it in some place in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And this time it's going to be all over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's something special, you know. So it's a live version from each one of the songs from Invasion. That's live Invasion.
Killer.
So it's fun, you know. So I get to, you know, everyone's making their own records. And so now you get to do whatever you want. You don't have a record company saying yes or no. So it's kind of a good situation.
Well, listen, Five, really appreciate you coming in and bringing your film crew and stuff. Have a great rest of the tour with Queensryche. We'll see you this summer. And who knows, maybe some new zombie, huh?
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's wonderful. Wait till you hear it. You're going to love it.
And there he is, Detroit's own guitar virtuoso, John Five, right here on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I went to the show last night and I saw that, because like I said before, this interview was taped yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I went up to him after the show. Well, first of all, when he played here back in like October or something, I went up to him afterwards and I go, is that all fake? Because you just don't miss any notes. It's just impossible. Yeah. He's so good, right? Yeah. So then last night, I go up to him after the show and I go, hey, dude, I thought that you missed a note, but then I was wrong.
He's the kind of guy that makes me feel really self-conscious when I sit down with my guitar.
When I told him, I said, hey, dude, I think you missed a note there. Or you played a wrong note. He looks at me and goes, no, I didn't. Such a humble guy. Yeah. But no, John
wasn't wrong, though.
Yeah, he wasn't. That's for sure. So John's a good man, and he's got a great family, and it's just a lot of fun. So I was grateful to have him come in. Of course, doing Riff Fest on July 18th. With Rob Zombie and Hailstorm and a bunch of other great bands. So, anyways, Al Beck joins us here for Rock News. And we got a lot of stuff to get to today, so let's just get at the getting, because I could talk about your stupid Star Trek pendants or whatever you're buying. Yeah. What did you buy yesterday?
It was a Bluetooth comm badge.
I don't know what that means.
You got the communicator while in like next gen. And
what do you mean? You know, you got the communicator. I don't know what a communicator is.
You know the communicator, the classic. You flip it open and the
like a flip Star phone,
Trek, sort of. The flip phone was designed after the original Sears communicator.
Okay,
and you know, you just it's a walkie-talkie. It's okay. You know, it was a pre-cell phone, and but from the next generation forward, there's just a little badge that they wear, and you just tap it, and that's how you activate it. I've got a Star Trek comm badge that you connects via magnets.
So, then, on your Instagram, you had a couple other words I didn't understand. What was the
Bluetooth?
No, not that. I knew I just walked myself right into that one. No. What was the word, the verbiage you used? I'm like, what is he talking about?
Oh, yeah, available now in the Alpha Quadrant.
The Alpha Quadrant. I'm like, what is this even supposed to mean?
Well, that's where we live. Yeah. We live in Sector 001 of the Alpha Quadrant.
We do?
We do. Yeah, that's where Earth is.
That's just what they. That just.
According to Star Trek.
Star
canon.
Trek, okay. Yeah. Not according to like real NASA
not
people.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
Anything like that. No, not according to physics.
My God. This is what we missed last time when you weren't here. So.
Yeah. I was wondering if I got replaced or something. I was kind of crossing my fingers.
No such luck. Yeah. You're here in the male alpha quadrant right here. That's what I should do.
Great.
The alpha male quadrant.
Christ. Stephanie!
Yeah, really, exactly. Get her in here. So, Green Day, American Idiot, they were talking about this becoming like a play or a movie or something, but yeah. I guess that's been put on the back burner.
So, there's actually a musical. You know, obviously, American Idiot, big iconic album and song for Green Day. They turned it into a musical. Well, there was talks about taking that musical and turning it into a movie, but it does look like that is no longer going to happen. Billy Joe Armstrong, in a recent interview, just said that it's been completely scrapped.
Okay. That is my favorite Green Day record.
It's a good record. Dookie's probably my favorite, though.
Yeah, I mean, Dookie's obviously was good. And, of course, you know, that was the beginning of the band. And, you know, the beginning of their huge success.
Yes, yeah.
So, hey, Ozzy, he's been talking about this Parkinson's thing lately, but apparently this was diagnosed a long time ago.
Which kind of is how a lot of people reacted to that. When the news broke originally, we found out, a month or two ago that he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And we were under the impression he was diagnosed a year ago, but he's actually has come out and said, I'm not dying of Parkinson's disease. I've been dealing with it for a long time, a lot of my life, and it looks like the official diagnosis actually came back in 2003. And I mean, again, we got the news that he was diagnosed, and a lot of people kind of like, he didn't have it already, you know? I mean, he just from seeing him and stuff. But yeah, no, he's had it for a while. He's been dealing with it for quite some time.
And I was out last night. John 5 was playing, like we were just talking about, and Kirk Gibson was there. And for people that, you know, aren't baseball fans or whatever, he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's as well a couple years back. And he moves a little bit slower and stuff, and it seems like he's sometimes, you know, maybe grasping for, you know, the right thoughts and stuff. But I'll tell you what, man, he was it was really cool to hang out with him last night. Of course, a legendary Major League Baseball player.
So. Yeah.
Moving on to Kiss. Speaking of John 5, big Kiss fan. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but those guys doing this America's Got Talent, which I have many issues with that show, but go ahead.
Well, I guess a part of their end of the road tour, Kiss is going to be making a television appearance. As we record it, it'll be this coming Monday, February 17th. Of course, if that's in the past for you as you listen to a podcast, I'm sure it's online, but they will be on America's Got Talent on NBC.
You know, my big thing about America's Got Talent is here's the deal. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait. Here's the deal.
Here's the deal with that. It's like, I hate when they get like a dance group or something from like Brazil or something. It's like, whoa. What is the name of the show?
Fair enough.
The name of the show is America's Got Talent. Yeah. Why am I looking at this, you know, dance group from China or this magician from England or something? It's like, you know, keep it in America.
Keep it in America.
Britain's Got Talent, right?
Yeah, they do.
So there. You don't see some dude from Cleveland going over there.
No.
See?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't watch either one of them.
Well, I haven't watched either, but it'll be cool. So that's happening on President's Day, and I'll have to check that out with Kiss. I'll tell you what, man. Say what you want about them. You know, their farewell tour has been going on now for like the last 18 years. And and Gene is just like, you know, they know how to get their name out there. They know how to get in front of people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh, that's true.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, Tommy Lee was on the Goldbergs here today. I haven't seen him yet. I'm sure it's on my recorder somewhere.
Yeah.
But I love the Goldberg show. It's probably one of my favorites, although I haven't watched it recently, but it is a great show.
I do enjoy that show as well. It's on my DVR list. And sure enough, I knew he was going to be on, and then I forgot. And so I'm watching the show, and all of a sudden, hey, there's Tommy Lee. So he plays like a college professor or college advisor or something. But I thought kind of the funny joke is, obviously, if you know it's Tommy Lee, it's funny because he's got a picture on his desk, and his character, it's supposed to be his character's wife, and he picks it up and he talks about his wife and refers to her as his one and only sexual partner, which is obviously a joke written because it's Tommy Lee and there's no way in hell.
Now, in this show,
I think we've seen him have sex with more women.
Yeah, right, exactly. In this show, he didn't honk the horn of his bonus penis at all, did he?
No, okay, he didn't,
okay.
No.
Okay, just checking. So, yeah, I'll have to check that out. That's a great show. I love that show. I think the dad is hysterical. I love Barry.
Yep.
Just hysterical.
Yep. Barry's good, yeah.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Of course, we can't have rock news without a little bit of news about the Foo Fighters.
That's right. Well, they're always doing stuff. They're always constantly dropping those surprise EPs. We did know that they were working on their next full-length album. Dave Grohl says that is now done, and that is in the can. So we got that to look forward to. Not really sure when exactly we're going to get to it, but Dave Grohl also mentions he's working on a documentary about bands touring in vans, which is kind of interesting.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's cool. I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, so more details forthcoming for that.
I have a feeling those guys are going to be touring in vans this year.
I think so, probably.
So that's, yeah,
very, very large vans.
Yes, very large vans. So, hey, finally to wrap things up with, which is one of the coolest stories I think that we have today. We got two stories from Pearl Jam. Mm. First of all, talk about the story where they're what are they doing? Donating stuff to some sports team?
Yeah,
or something?
So in Pittsburgh, they're going to a charity that's raising money to basically help special needs kids get on the baseball field. As you know, Mike McCready in particular, but Pearl Jam, big baseball fans. So they're donating a bunch of signed stuff for them to auction off to get kids, special needs kids, out on the baseball diamond. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson was actually talking about that last night because it's funny the circles that he runs. And of course, I think he's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Is it Kirk Gibson? I believe so.
Anyways, and some of the circles he runs in is really cool, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was talking about Eddie Vedder and stuff. And then, like, you bring up, like, I don't even know how we got on this topic, but you bring up, like, Rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Geddy Lee is a huge baseball fan. So, of course, he's met Geddy Lee a bunch of times, you know. Did you know that, Geddy Lee?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Geddy Lee from Rush has, like, an autographed baseball collection, different things like that. And he'll go to, like, the games and sit there, and he takes, you know, the scores, and he writes them down.
Cool.
So he
yeah,
does all
yeah,
that stuff, you
yeah.
know. So, yeah, he's a big baseball fan. As far as Pearl Jam goes, though, the story I really want to get to is about this app where you can hear their new song.
That's right. So Gigaton is coming out, I think, March 27th at the end of March. And they do have a single floating out there already, but their next single is called Super Blood Moon, and they are going to release it online, of course, coming up soon. But if you want the early preview of that song, you can go to moon.pearljam.com and download an app, and then you actually point it with the camera. You got to point the app at the moon, and you get to hear the new song.
The actual moon, not your friend dropping his pants.
Right, yes.
Right, okay.
God, I hope so.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. But if your ass can mimic the moon to an app, you might want to get on keto or something.
I wouldn't use mine, right, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, that is an awesome app. You know, we are living in some crazy times.
Yes, we are.
Seriously. Do you remember, like, it wasn't that long ago, like, we would get a song on the radio and we couldn't play it till like 3 o'clock or something, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we would actually, like, talk over the beginning of it so the competing radio station couldn't tape it and play it and say they were the, you know, all
right.
that stuff, right? And now you got bands putting out apps that you point at the moon and hear their song. I mean, it's crazy.
It is insane.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just like, I love that fun idea of the app where you point it at the moon and that's how it works. You know,
yeah.
I like space stuff. Like, I've got an app where it can show.
Wait a second, hold on. You like space stuff?
I do like space stuff.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
Right. Well, it'll be in my next blog.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I've got apps where it shows you all the constellations. You just point your camera at wherever it tells you where
Saturn. That's been around for quite a while, actually.
But the point is, like, I think I like the way that.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, it's
I'm
really
done.
Cool.
Where's my combat? Yeah. I need to get beamed out of here.
Yeah, Al wants to, what Al wants is he wants his phone to, like, look up in the sky and find the USS Enterprise or
yes.
something. Yeah. Oh, there it is over there. Yeah. It's in the female quadrant.
Yep.
Was it the Alpha Quadrant?
Alpha Quadrant, yeah. Right. It's where we live.
Give your socials because I'm done with you.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF, quick final interview here, which we'll get to in just a second. But yeah, if you like this interview, please, by all means, share it. Give it a 5-star rating on Apple. You can, you know, just check out past interviews as well. We've interviewed John Five a few times. So go back in the archives and check out some of the interviews we did with him. Like, just for example, last time we did talk about David Lee Roth. Roth and different things like that. And then that, you know, because I talked to Dave, I don't know, maybe a month before talking to John, and Dave did talk about, you know, releasing that stuff with John in the future sometime. So we'll see what happens with that. Chase, thanks for so much for checking in. How's things with you guys?
Fantastic. How are things with you?
Everything is great, man. So Chase Engel and the Night Shift, you guys are coming back through the Motor City playing on February 22nd with the guys from Sponge. Have you ever played or met the guys from Sponge before? Ever play with them?
Have not. I have seen them before, though. My dad, actually, when I was like 12, they were playing here at the Midland Fair. And it was supposed to be a 21 and older thing. I was like literally 13, and my dad snuck me across this fence, and we ran into the concert. Whatever. There wasn't a ton of people there. It was super late. It was rainy. But I got to watch it when I was like 12 and not supposed to be there. So I don't know if that counts. But
well,
I've never met him. Never played with him.
So let me get this straight. So your dad snuck you into the concert?
Snuck us in. I was about 12. You know, knew I liked me. I was just getting into music at the time, and we jumped a fence and crossed a field and went through this little like trailer park actually to get into the thing. He was about half in the bag, like, yeah, come on, you know, we'll go in there. But no, it was a fun time. I got to watch. I had no idea who they were at the time, no clue. But coming full circle, yeah, we open up for them next week, Saturday in Detroit with a band that's from Detroit. That's always fun. So, No, I have to tell them that story, but.
Yeah, Vinny's a great guy. I've known him for many years, and I'll tell you what, he's good people, man, really good people. Hey, so last time we talked to you a few months back, I think you guys had that show at Diesel, right, with Buck Cherry, is that correct? Yeah, and that was at the end of December, yeah.
Yep, same venue that we'll be at with Sponge on the 22nd, and we actually got to go on tour with Buck Cherry after that. Got to do more tour dates. You know, the opportunity kind of breeds opportunity. So we got to do 3-4 more shows with them. Got to play an arena with them. All kinds of fun stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. No, the band has exponentially grown since the last time we talked, which is it's been great. It really has. Quite a bit of growth since last time we talked.
No, that's great. I'll tell you what, yeah, your band is killer. You guys got this unique kind of thing going on, and I suggest people look you up on YouTube and, of course, on the interweb and check out Chase Engel and the Night Shift. So February 22nd, like you said, at Diesel. But also, you know, you guys have this connection with Tesla. Brian from the band is he producing new music with you guys or what?
We hope to do so. We just talked to him the other day. I just spoke with him. I mean, I speak with him time to time. Obviously, he's our manager, producer, record label guy, the whole nine. And he really wants to get back in the studio to do some more stuff, to do some more songs for the fall. And being through his connection, we actually have a 4 shows, I believe, at the end of April with Tesla, spanning from Illinois, Michigan, Indianapolis, and New York, I believe.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great experience for you guys as well. Of course, you know, hopping on with Buck Cherry and doing all that kind of stuff. And now with Tesla also. So, that's cool. So what else you guys got going on for this year? Is there anything else you can add? Anything else you can tell us? Or you can't let the cat out of the bag just yet?
You know, I always get in trouble doing that. But, hopefully I can say this. We just got confirmed for. So Brian happens to know Mrs. Rachel Ray, the Super Chef TV personality.
Wow.
And she, I don't know how he knows so many people, And he sent her a video of us, and she holds a show at South by Southwest. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
In Texas. It's been my dream to play South by Southwest. She holds a show there and actually invited us. Hey, we'd love to have you guys come down in March and play at the show. It's blown me. I mean, Train has played it. Weezer's played it. It should be amazing for us at the end of March. We get to go down to Texas and do that. And on the way down, we're touring with Thunderstruck, America's AC/DC tribute.
Right.
And those guys are selling out all kinds of shows all across the Midwest. So we got like 4 or 5 shows with them on the way down, and then we get to play South by Southwest, which has been my dream for 15 years.
Did you see that movie with, not to get off on a tangent or nothing, but did you see that movie with about the documentary about Bill Murray?
I seen Was it a movie or was it like a TV show?
Well, this was a documentary, and he actually goes to South by Southwest, I think, and he jams in some house with this band and stuff.
Yeah, where he's like just showing up at people. Yeah, he'll deal. Yes, no, I've seen parts of it. Yeah.
But, that's so funny.
Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's been my dream to play Saw. I mean, that is the mecca for, you know, up and coming bands, and to get the chance to do that. So hopefully I didn't let Ken out of the bag too much, but he said we are confirmed. So,
all right, well, cool, man. Well, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, February 22nd with Sponge, if I'm not mistaken, I think Chit is also on the bill, and that's one of the guys I work with here, Screaming Scott. So, yeah, that should be great. Well, listen, good luck with everything you got going on with all these tour dates and everything like that, and maybe some new music here in 2020. And we'll see you out there on the road somewhere. All right, Chase?
Thank you so much for letting us check in. Maybe we'll get back together in time and see how much we've grown since now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.